You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
NAPA know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the NAPA Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with NAPA Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's NAPA know-how.
NAPA know-how.
Welcome to the Two Robbies podcast on NBCSports.com. I'm Robbie Earle, and I'm joined by my old sparring partner, Robbie Musto, to take a look back on a weekend of top-class Premier League action. So, OK, Musty, I'm going to kick things off with a manager who's lost his job today, Tim Sherwood, sacked by Aston Villa. Were you surprised, mate?
Actually, I was a little bit surprised. Just given, you know, the job that he's done and what he did at the start, and it's, I assume that he'd be given a fair amount of time with a new bunch of players, a lot that came in the summer, to turn things around. I mean, it's I know that the pressure was on, and reports said that he had a couple of games to save his job. I just think it smacks of desperation, the new kind of short, very, very short-term thinking in terms of managers. And I feel sorry for him. I wasn't sure at the start, Rob. I think we had a conversation whether he was the right man long-term for Aston Villa. But, I mean, I just think this is way too early for the poor guy. And, you know, we'll see who takes over. But I think it's way too short.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Tim Shearer because I think, listen, they haven't had a great start. One win, one draw out the first 10 games. And I know they've got to push on a little bit better than that. But I just think it's sad for the game, Rob, when a young manager gets his first real job. I know he had the Spurs job before, but this is his club that he's had some players and he's not given any time to get over his first real hump in the road, to learn how to have a bit experience and have something to fall back on later in his career. It's a bad indictment of the league, I think, when young managers not being given any time to kind of do the job.
I think it's something, Robbie Earle, that we might see a lot more of. We know that the management structure now of these football clubs has changed. There's Randy Lerner up top. They've got a head of recruitment. They've got a director of football. And I think, you know what we've seen with Watford last season, Rob, where there's very much a hierarchy and the coach is very kind of short-term. It's dispensable. It's like, if you don't get out of him, somebody else will try. If he doesn't, somebody else will try. I fear, and we see this a lot in Italy, we see it not so much in Spain, but we do see it in other parts of the world where coaches are a lot more in and out. I hate it. I think this is kind of another example, apart from Watford of last year, that this poor guy has had so little time with players. And we all know that he hasn't had a lot of say in a lot of those players coming in. He's getting punished for bad decisions above him.
Yeah, it's a very average group of players. And the big question is, Rob, who's the kind of guy to come in? There's all kind of names being thrown around. Brendan Rodgers, David Moyes. I'm going to pick one out for you. Nigel Pearson, your old mate. I know that'll warm your heart. Let's get Nigel back in, get a bit of spirit around a group who might not have any stars, but he'll get them working and he'll pull that club together. Who's the kind of names you're thinking?
I like that. I like that. He's a friend of mine, and I think he would jump at the chance to do that. I mean, other ones, David Moyes, you'd have to say, if they could attract David Moyes into that position again, because I think it's going to be a very difficult job, I think he'd be very good. There's a lot of talk right now, Rob, of Remy Gard, a former Arsenal defender, a Lyon, a long-time coach, coaching in that football club, was manager for a little while, he won the French Cup. That doesn't excite me. I don't imagine it's going to excite the Aston Villa fans. No. Almost a kind of a gamble, a risky appointment. But again, maybe we're going to see more than one, two, three managers at Villa in the space of the next 12 months. You just don't know. But I think Pearson, Moyes would be good. Brendan Rodgers, of course, I still think is an excellent coach. I doubt very much Robbie Earle is going to be interested in that job.
Now, let me just start a rumour. Jose Mourinho was seen in the Midlands today, right. Villa fan, so just hold on for that. Rob, I'm going to move it forward to the big Manchester derby, ended up in a 0-0, wasn't as probably exciting as we all thought. Did United kind of squander an opportunity, you think, with City missing the likes of Aguero and Silva?
I think they did miss an opportunity, apart from the fact that they lost those two important players. But just the performance of Manchester City, Rob. Mm. I mean, I was so disappointed. I so expected them to go there and to have a real fair share of possession, to annoy United, to give them problems in the wide areas. We didn't see any of that. I thought City were outpassed, outrun, outthought, outphysicaled. I was super, I guess, frustrated because I think City are better than that. But it, you know, in terms of United going forward, that's where they're not great. Wayne Rooney still is a question mark up front. Doesn't do a lot now, does he, apart from hold the ball up, knock it off. Not much of a threat. So, yes, the answer to your question is there was an opportunity missed because City were, I thought, awful on the day.
It's really interesting because we listened to the press conference, Pellegrini after, and he wasn't happy with the style of play. He thought he didn't get enough from his attacking players on the pitch. He wants to win games, but he wants to win them with a certain style, Rob. He knows what he wants from his group.
Yeah, and he didn't get it from his group. I mean, you know, we've talked many times about Yaya Toure, and Yaya Toure's not happy because he's not getting the recognition that he thinks he deserves. Yeah. Well, he doesn't get it because of performances like today. I mean, he's in this little luxury role, Rob. He's a number 10. He can, you know, he's not. There's not a lot of responsibility on him to be defensively very strong, but he did nothing. Kevin De Bruyne, I mean, a wonderful, talented footballer. You kind of understand a little bit why Jose Mourinho was not having him as a player because of his performance today, not interested when City didn't have the ball, was very poor when closed down. Mm. I thought United did a great job of hustling, working very hard without the ball, and City didn't really fancy rolling their sleeves up and making it a contest.
Now, I said today, I thought it was a day for the tradesmen, the hard workers, the defenders, the guys who had to stop things. Wasn't a good day for the craftsmen. I think certainly for Manchester United, back six was sound. I thought they controlled the ball well and closed down. But just up front, Rob, that spark, and there's a lot of debate now about Wayne Rooney. He's 30 years of age this weekend. I mean, it seems he's been around forever. But is he just losing the spark? Should he be a first choice in this Manchester United team?
Well, that's a good question. And I think his position should be like everybody else's, be under pressure. Memphis Depay had a bad run, out of the team. Other players that have not played particularly well, out of the side. Wayne Rooney, if he got dropped to the bench next week, I don't think anybody would have much of a problem. That being said, I still want to see Wayne Rooney a little bit longer as a number 10, Robbie Earl.
Yep.
Eddie Martial, look, the best player for United, that ability to beat players easily, get him back as a number 9, bring back in Memphis. I just think Van Gaal missed a bit of a trick today, and I didn't like some of the subs when Mata came out of the game. And I thought when Mata came out of the game, they just lost a little bit of creativity and a little bit of spark that they had going forward. Fellaini comes on, they tweak the system a little bit to a 4-3-3. I just think Van Gaal, Rob, do you think that he over-tweaking, overthinking this when a couple of poor games and he changes quite a lot of the look of the team?
I just thought today was one of those days, Rob, having got well beaten by Arsenal a couple of weeks ago at the Emirates. I just got this sense with Louis van Gaal that it was determined his team didn't get beat today. I don't think he wants to be known as a manager with a team that can't handle the big days, can't handle the big clubs. And so, I know he wouldn't admit it, but I think in the end he'll be reasonably pleased to get a point to move on. It's still a bit pretty early for Manchester United, and we'll have to see if they have the quality to stay in that top four and maybe have a title challenge. Going to move things on to Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp's first Premier League game at home for Liverpool, spoiled by a late Mane equaliser. What's your thoughts on Liverpool? I mean, where are we after three games with Jurgen Klopp, Rob? I'm not so sure.
I think we're at a position where Jurgen Klopp is very much still finding his way. Mm. You can see the frustration. He desperately wants to grab hold of the enthusiasm, the excitement around his arrival at Anfield. You can see that.
Yeah.
But the team, you know, it isn't quite there yet. In Spurs, we saw a plan of defensive pressing that worked very, very well. And in this game, we saw him kind of tweak his system a little bit with Liverpool going forward, but they just don't seem to have the quality required at the moment. I think just overlooking as well, Rob, in terms of the way that they did play, I mean, the cross from Milner to Benteke was a spectacular goal. Pretty simple cross, but there was very few crosses. Mm. And you know, Klopp will find, I think, that in this team, he's got to have more width. He's got Milner playing on the right, coming inside. Coutinho on the left, coming inside. I thought they were awfully narrow and just lacking quality, mate.
Yeah, I just get the sense that he's trying to temper expectations. And it was quite interesting when he was interviewed after the game. This is what he had to say.
We can change a lot of things if it's necessary, but not all of these things will work from the first moment on. It's like everything in life. If you learn something, you are not the next day 100% better. So you have to work on, and that's what we have to do. So it's not so important what we can change in short time. It's important what we can change and then take in the next game, and that's what we try.
Yeah, and he's got his work cut out. I mean, This is difficult. This is not easy. Brendan Rodgers was always tinkering around to try and get them to be better going forward. The lack of goals has been incredible. I'll tell you what he's learned today, Rob. He's learned a couple of things, at least a couple of things for me. He's learned that Divock Origi is fourth in his pecking order of strikers, and
agree.
He's had to play him with injuries, etc. But he's not really good enough if they want to be pushing towards the top four or five in this league. He's learned that when they play narrow, and they might gain some territory and some possession because of that, but Moreno and Nathaniel Klein, final balls are not that great. So when it goes wide to those two and you're expecting something good, he didn't get it. The final ball in, I thought, was particularly poor.
Yeah.
That, amongst other things, I thought that Chan is, you know, he's still young, and he didn't have a good game. I thought Lucas played really, really well. So there's kind of pluses and negative marks to it. We're going to see a period of time where he's going to tweak things a little bit until he gets a settled lineup. It was just frustrating today, Rob, because it just, when that goal went in, a spectacular header, by the way, it just thought it was going to be his day.
Yeah, they certainly looked better when Benteke came on, bit of potency, bit of physicality. For me, just with Liverpool, I just sometimes think they lack a little bit of power through the team, and that might be something he needs to address going forward. And we'll have to listen. Saints, I thought, were well set up by Ronald Koeman. I thought in the end they probably deserved a draw. Mane was a real threat most of the day, and Pella kept the Liverpool back line honest. But going to move things on to a man, Robbie, who said he was a special one 12 months ago. He's almost turned into the miserable one now. Jose Mourinho, can he turn things round at Chelsea? And what is going on at that football club?
I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. I don't think he will turn things around, Rob. I mean, what are we talking here? What is turning things around? Is that getting into the top four?
Top four.
I don't think that can
happen. It's got to be top four.
When you look at the way that they're playing, you look at the
Robbie said 2 weeks ago they can get top four.
And the disharmony and all the problems and a crying and a bitter and a bad losing Mourinho. I mean, what is turning it around? What do you think it is? Do you think they can finish in the top four? Because I don't.
Well, he said top four is still the target. And I've got to be honest. Listen, if they get on a run, and we know the Christmas games come thick and fast, and they put three or four run
results
together.
Yeah, but can you see him on a run, Rob? I can't see where a run's coming from with the body language.
I can. Something has to change. Something has to change between the group. I don't know if there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of respect. Nemanja Matic was subbed on and subbed off a few weeks ago. Eden Hazard's criticised publicly. You know, John Terry's been in and out of the team. He's unhinged too many of his important players, and something's wrong with the football club. And you look at yesterday, and I think teams take the character of the manager in charge. You know, Jose Mourinho gets dismissed from the touchline. His assistant manager gets dismissed from the touchline. Nemanja Matic gets dismissed from the game, two yellow cards. And he needs to unite this team together and show that he is an outstanding manager and that he's not just a good manager in the good times, Rob.
Well, I mean, In terms of the football side, his team have lost all identity of what they are.
Yeah.
They've tried to grind it out with a few more defensive players. Ramirez comes into the team. You know, a back four, a very kind of strong and stable back four. They can't defend. They've lost their attacking capabilities. If this continues, by the way, Robbie Earl, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and they don't get, you know, 2 or 3 wins, does he get fired?
No. For who?
I think it almost becomes untenable, Rob. Because
Robbie Musto.
He'll be moody, miserable, no interviews.
Trigger happy Musto. No, give him a little bit of time. Listen, I don't want him to get sacked and I don't want him to walk away. I want him to show that he's an outstanding manager, or maybe not. And so I want to give him that little bit of time, Rob. But we'll have to see how that one goes. Listen, we've got to give a little bit of love to West Ham as well, the way that they played yesterday. Wins at Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, Palace, now beating Chelsea. A little bit of love for Slaven Bilic as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, just an amazing job. I mean, you're getting a bowling ground now that is jumping. And that's kind of what they always wanted at West Ham United. Lanzini, Zarate, Dimitri Payet, brilliant signing he was. These three guys playing in behind a striker, you know, when you're playing at a good side like Chelsea, that wouldn't have happened with other managers. So I think he's done a fantastic job. And, you know, even when Andy Carroll came onto the field later on, it wasn't long ball stuff up to him early on. It was, you know, craft the ball in wide areas and get good crosses for him to attack. So I think West Ham have done a remarkable job. I don't see them staying in the top four. I know that you're a romantic and you come out with these crazy predictions sometimes. Are you having any way that they can finish there?
No, but they'll finish fifth or sixth. Don't worry about them, Robbie Mustard. Listen, we've got to move on to a team that, you know, I had a little bit of love in at the start of the season. Arsenal, my title favourites. Sitting in a not bad position after 10 games, winning a little bit differently against Everton, maybe having to grind it out. Is this a different Arsenal? Are they serious contenders?
First of all, mate, we all had Chelsea to start to win, so this is your second choice.
No, this is my first choice, and it's on record, and we will play the tape next time you're in.
Oh, really?
Correct.
All right, well, I apologise if I got that wrong, but no, are we seeing a different Arsenal? I think we're seeing a different Arsenal. Is it different enough to win the Barclays Premier League? It very well might be. I still think they'll finish second. I still think Manchester City have a better squad over a course of 38 games. I think they'll be on top. But you've got to, of course, give respect and give credit to what they're doing at the moment. They have got strikers, whether it's Giroud for you or Walcott for me, that are both scoring goals. Giroud scoring more, I grant.
Thank you. More currently,
Sanchez.
Giroud.
Sanchez is continuing to look great and score goals. The difference and the improvement is Mesut Ozil. Ozil is all of a sudden, he's got that little bit between his teeth where he's creating a lot of chances, doing a lot of assists, scoring goals himself. That's better. Less injuries, though another hamstring injury for Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
But for the most part, less injuries. Gabriel is an improvement as a player that everybody called out for, another central defender. People were that excited about him, but I think he looks very, very good. So these are all small improvements combined with the fact that the league, the best teams in the league, are not very good. City against Manchester United, disappointing. So Arsenal right now, really close to the top, and absolutely will have a great chance of winning the league.
I think that there's a grudging respect for what Arsenal do. I think whenever they get top of the league, whenever they're on the run, people always want to say what they don't do, and they'll have a slip up and blah, blah, blah. Why is it they can't win the league then? What's the reason they can't do it? There's enough talent in that group. There's enough ability in that group. You've got Ozil playing. You've got goals all over the pitch.
I just think, Robin, and this is a good period of time. Arsenal are brilliant when the conditions are right and they're on a run. They're fantastic. But we've seen it many times before. We've seen it so many times before, Rob. They'll have a bad period. Maybe in January and February, get a few injuries. You know, that motivation, that drive, that leadership, you know, it's been lacking to push them over the line. They haven't done it before, and I haven't seen enough evidence to think that they're going to do it this time. The most important thing is the other teams. The other teams, and Chelsea nowhere to be seen. United short.
Correct.
City look flaky. They'll have a great squad. They've got a brilliant chance, even if they have a similar kind of run to last year.
The hottest team in the league, Robbie Musto. Give him a little bit more credit. I'm in Arsenal, we trust. Listen, I want to go on to the final game this weekend, the Time Weird Derby. Sunderland 3, Newcastle 0. I just wonder if you got any sympathies for Steve McClaren and what you thought of the Colaccini decision, the penalty kick and the red card.
Well, first of all, no way red card.
No.
Okay?
No, I'm with you on that.
Second,
yeah.
I don't think it was a penalty.
Ooh, interesting. Cal Martino didn't think it was a penalty. I did. I thought it was a clumsy challenge by Colaccini that he didn't need to make because the ball was already going to Elliott. He doesn't need to push Fletcher off and even give the referee the opportunity to give the penalty kick. So for stupidity, give a penalty.
Rob, how many times have we seen shoulder? It was literally shoulder to shoulder. The ball was a little bit ahead, but they both leaned in. The difference was that Colaccini is coming from momentum and Mitrovic, wasn't it?
No, Stephen Fletcher.
Sorry, Stephen Fletcher.
Yeah.
And his momentum's kind of going the other way, and it looked bad.
Yeah.
I just, you know, yes, have we seen them given yes, But if it had been me refereeing right behind those two, I'd say get on with it. It's defending that we see a lot of times. So super unlucky Newcastle United with that decision. They were comfortable in the game. So, you know, Sunderland didn't play well, but I kind of get where he's coming from, Big Sam Rob. You know, I think you were more critical of what Sunderland did in that game.
Yeah.
I thought that they had attacking players in the lineup, but were super defensive, and I ain't got a problem with that. We've seen many games
Rob,
before where
did you watch it first off?
Of course, got a big help with the refereeing decisions, but I thought Sunderland, you know, went on and enjoyed a good game. Things happen in football. Sunderland were in the game when this incident happened at 0-0, and they went on to take advantage.
I didn't see that. I saw a Sunderland team that were rudderless. Floundering, I think, is your phrase in the first half. But they got the penalty kick. They got the luck. Where does Steve McLaren go from here? 6 goals last weekend against Norwich. Confidence coming back in the team. Mm. Back to the drawing board for him. Sunderland go above them. 1 step forward, 2 steps back for McLaren. Can he keep talking about how well they played and we've got a good group and we're looking forward? How soon does he have to have a bit of a reality check?
Well, you know what, Robin? I've been critical of Newcastle United. I've been critical of Steve McLaren. Mm. But again, I think there's quite a few good players in this team.
Yeah, I'm with you, yeah. I agree.
Last year, they went on a run of 5 wins. I think they've got another good run in them. I do. I mean, it's not looking good in the table, but I thought Wijnaldum. I think Wijnaldum's better and better each week. I think he's a fantastic player. Tiotti's back in midfield with Cole back. Mitrovic looks smart up front. You know, Cisse to come back, and I think they're going to be okay, Rob. And you know, even though I'm not a fan sometimes of some of the spin that McLaren puts on press conferences, and he does say some unusual things. As long as he keeps this group motivated and sticking together and being a little bit more pragmatic at times in games, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Robin, and I agree with everything you say there, that was their 10th red card since the start of last season, which tells me there's a little bit of an indiscipline that's costing points along the way. But I'm afraid, mate, the final whistle's blown on us today. That's all we got time for. On a weekend when Manchester was neither painted blue or red, but the North East bragging rights belong firmly with Sunderland. Make sure you look out for another Two Robbies podcast same time next weekend. And don't forget, you can catch both Musty and I on the Two Robbies radio show, 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday on NBC Sports Radio.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.